This is the Transcend Human Podcast, a show dedicated to the spirituality and psychology of the human condition. This year, however, we're taking a detour together as I venture into the world of writing. Each episode documents my journey from the big idea to a complete fiction novel. Join me through the highs and the lows that are sure to be part of this creative process. All right, people, welcome back to the Transcend Human Podcast. Great to be with you. We are in a series called the Transcendent Trilogy. Interestingly enough, that name has taken a few twists and turns lately, but we'll get into that more today. And it may be changing, but I don't know. We'll see. All right, March 2025. So, yeah, like I said, welcome back. We are in a crazy cadence when it comes to these episodes. I wouldn't call it monthly even, you know, it's just kind of as needed, I think is kind of the way this is going. So yeah, we've talked a lot about the big idea, my work in progress. We've gone back and forth between whether I'm doing a trilogy or whether I'm doing a standalone. And like I said, we'll get into that here today. But I think I've made a decision. I'm feeling really good about it, and I've already kind of hit the ground running. So just wanted to jump on today, have that conversation, and let you know how it's going. But before we do that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping, get you caught up on where things are going in my life. In terms of work, for me, business as usual. It's definitely been a stressful period of time. I would say that we've got quite a few high level projects with tight deadlines and our developers are really being stretched to their limits right now. So, you know, it's just one of those periods of time. It's just one of those phases we're going through. So I don't know about you, but for me, it just feels like everything in life is being amped up right now. Right. And so work is just another one of those pieces of the puzzle. In the same way that, you know, the price of gas, the price of eggs is on the rise. Why wouldn't work get more stressful as well? that's the way I'm feeling about it right now. The girls, both still living in New York. Allie's in law school. She's getting her typical breaks, you know, that come with being part of a school schedule. So that's great. She came home recently, and she'll actually be here again in a month or so. Rachel, not the same. She is no longer on a school schedule, so she is adulting about as hard as you can in New York City, working two part-time jobs and also acting as the assistant stage manager for another play over in New Jersey. I guess it makes sense, given the New York City mantra, right? The city that never sleeps. That's what I feel like when I listen to their stories about their day and you know, taking the subway from here to there and then back from here to there. And it just sounds like a really crazy world, but I'm so proud of them. Love to see that they are out in the world chasing their dreams. It's amazing. Tyler, it's just finishing up his last semester in community college. He's already started to get acceptance letters to four-year schools where he'll head off to in order to finish up a psychology degree. He is actually coaching at his old high school right now, coaching volleyball, dating, working, just overall living his life. Tammy, I would say similar to me, probably work as usual. However, that's not really a good thing for an Enneagram 7. Too much routine, not enough chaos. That can put her in a really bad mood. No, really, I'm not exaggerating. That is kind of the way that it works for her. She needs constant change, constantly putting new things on the calendar, looking forward to out of the ordinary events, things like that. Much different than me, where it's like, hey, the more that I can take off of my schedule and just keep the routine that I have, the better I feel. So you'll have that. So it's a good thing that Allie has not only come home in the recent past, but will be coming home again in a few months because it breaks up that routine. And then the other piece to that is at some point here in the next month or two, Tammy will be going out to New York for a couple weeks herself to hang out with the girls and to basically work remote, I think, one of the weeks. And yeah, so that'll be good for her as well. An update on the fostering thing. So Tammy and I are technically still waiting to be officially licensed in Riverside County. It is the dumbest thing that I have ever seen in my life. It's ridiculous. And my guess is that it's precisely why there are so many kids in our foster system waiting for placement. Because the county, the state, the government, they just cannot seem to get their ducks in a row on stuff like this, which is just so sad. But in similar news, we also learned about a new option. So I have a guy that I used to work with, and we had them over the other night because we saw that they were doing what looked like fostering, and we just wanted to connect with them and hear their story and chat with them about how it was going in their life. And we learned about not only fostering, but also a refugee program, part of a UN program to take care of underage minors or non-dependent minors from other countries, where they're basically in danger of falling through the cracks. So in this case, some of the minors are young girls and some of them are actually pregnant or have newborns. So Tammy and I just listened and, you know, learned more about the program, but it really sounds like an awesome opportunity for us. Like we've talked about this two or three times in the past where it's like, how crazy would it be to have a teen mom, right? Where you're taking care of her, she can be in your house, but at the same time, you've also got this little one, which just brings life to your home, and you're able to pour into that mom to help her be a great mom to her kid. So just a crazy new wrinkle in the fostering thing. It's something we're looking into. And when we know more about that, I'll let you know. Aside from that, I mean, we're just living life, right? Dealing with the crazy world events. We had the massive fires here in LA. There's the ongoing conflicts around the world. And obviously we're getting a front row seat into the craziness and the instability that's being created in our own administration here in Washington. But that's life, right? That's kind of what we're all dealing with right now. So with that said, let us jump into today's topic. I titled this episode, New Plan Initiated. Chapter 1, Decisions Made. Chapter 2, How Simple is Simple. And Chapter 3, The Power of a Prequel. Chapter 1, Decisions Made. So, like I said, I've been all over the place with this in the past, 4 months, 3 months? I don't even know. But basically determining what to do about my work in progress, my big idea. Now, my original big idea is truly a big idea, right? It was an epic story with multiple protagonists, groups of characters, numerous secondary characters and subplots, multiple locations spanning the entire globe, not to mention diving scenes in the ocean and deep space exploration, investigating anomalies in space. Like I said, very big, an expansive story. And a lot to bite off, I think, as my first project. In previous episodes, we touched on the feedback that I received from various people. So I have professionals telling me, oh, dude, you got to start small and kind of build up to a project of that size. I've got my wife telling me, just follow your heart, do whatever feels right. My friend Mike, you know, he's kind of Switzerland right now. He's like, no, I get it. I get both sides, right? I can see where starting small would be smart. You can really knock something out quick, you know, cut your teeth on something that's easier to deal with. But at the same time, he understands that draw to the big idea, right? That huge thing that you were handed by the universe. And if you don't run that down, you know, what that does to you, what it does to your heart, if you don't follow that through, right? I've listened to numerous podcast episodes reiterating the fact that, oh, it might be best to start with something small, even shorter than a novel, maybe like a short story or a novella, perhaps. And when I look back on my life, I've written short stories, I've written novellas. Obviously, none of them have been published. But at the same time, I feel like I've done some of that work. It's like just trying to decide, you know, did I do enough to where now I'm able to graduate up to something more? Or should I actually go back and actually do one and try to get it published? That kind of a thing. And then more recently, a friend of mine, a published author, basically told me not to listen to any of that crap. Her advice was, dude, don't listen to anyone else. 100% do what your heart is telling you to do, even if that means continuing with the big, big, big idea, the trilogy. So there you go. Clear as mud, right? I mean, I should easily be able to make a decision now, right? No. Actually, of course not. It's not that easy, and it hasn't been easy at all. And that's what I'm addressing in the last chapter of the last episode, which we did. I called it Rethinking Everything. And that's where I kind of brought this up, you know, about me trying to decide what it is that I should really do, right? So we talked about how I was all ready to jump back into the trilogy, into Act Two of the first book. And then I had that come to Jesus moment. And I decided to do an about face, not to scrap the trilogy altogether, but to maybe put it off and focus on something smaller first. Now, the way that I viewed this at the beginning was that it would be some random story that popped into my head, right? A typical standalone novel based on a funny idea or a small plot twist, something that could be fleshed out into a complete story. But more recently, I've started to play with the idea of doing a standalone novel using one of my characters from the trilogy. Now, when I started to think this way, that opened up a whole realm of possibilities. It started to allow me to draw on all of the research and the world building that I've already been doing for the trilogy. But then I got stuck for a while on which character made the most sense to write about, right? But eventually I landed on a woman that enters the story toward the end of the trilogy. She's a strong, powerful woman who plays a major role in the final kind of culmination of the series. And when I started to run down that road, I just haven't looked back. The more I fleshed it out, the more excited I became. I started with kind of two plot points that I knew would be fun to write about. Then I completed the 12 elements of the hero's journey, which really helped flesh out the kind of like the signposts of the entire story from beginning to end. And as I progressed, I really started to see the simplicity of the story, right? That this book could help me learn how to write a solid first draft, focusing on both an internal and an external story arc, but for just one character. Chapter 2, How Simple is Simple. So I use the words smaller and simple to describe this project, but let's flesh that out a bit more. What do I mean by those words and how do I see them playing out in this project? First, it will be a singular novel with a fairly standard length, probably between 400 and 500 pages, something like that. Each book of the trilogy potentially would have been a lot longer than that, right? Just because there's so much going on, there's so many pieces to describe and so many people to follow throughout the book. In the new project, there'll be a single protagonist. So this will be a major shift, right? Because the trilogy had at least two solid protagonists and another, a handful of high-level characters that really get a lot of screen time. In this book, there'll be a single antagonist or force of antagonism pushing back on the protagonist. So this piece is a little bit more abstract to me because I'm not even sure that I can define the full force of antagonism in the trilogy, much less for this book. There are multiple forces at work throughout the series, and for the most part, there is an evil force guiding all of them. And since this project is taken from the trilogy, I will need to honor that force of antagonism in some way throughout this first book. But my hope is that I can possibly figure out a specific antagonist that embodies that evil and use it in this story. Fewer locations or environments. So in this book, obviously there'll be much less in terms of locations, probably less than 5 locations for the entire book. Huge departure from the sweeping epic of the trilogy. Even though space travel is possible in the standalone, it's going to be only referenced as kind of a subplot where space is brought into the actual story. And then finally, we touched on this earlier, the ability to focus on both the external and internal story arc of the protagonist. Now, I know people will say, you really need to do that in the trilogy as well, right? And I get that. It's just a lot harder when you have multiple protagonists and so many additional characters. It's really hard to keep track of each of them in the external story, much less worrying about, you know, some of their personal growth from beginning to end. So in a more simple story, like I want to do, it would be really nice to do a deep dive and really think hard about the internal change in the protagonist, as well as the fun external plot. And hopefully that'll hone my skills a bit in that area. And then when I do the trilogy, you know, I'll have that skill and I'll be able to apply that to more than one character in the trilogy. Chapter 3, The Power of a Prequel. So the last thing I wanted to throw out there today is just this, the way that this project interfaces with my larger project. So how this standalone fits into my original big idea or the world of the trilogy. Simply put, it's a prequel of sorts, right? So it's not a prologue to the trilogy. It's an entire story that is set before, right? It basically sets the stage for what is to come. But it's a story that happened, you know, years before the trilogy actually starts. So I guess you could call it a spinoff in a way, like similar to the way Marvel, you know, took Avenger characters and created TV series around their story, right? So think Loki, WandaVision, Hawkeye, stories like that, that really it just pulls you out of the Avenger world in order for you to focus on that specific character's story. So my standalone is similar to that, but it takes place before the trilogy, which is where that term prequel typically comes in, right? And that idea, the idea of a prequel, it comes with a number of benefits. At least this is what I'm finding. So benefit number one, the world is already in place. So like I've said, I've done a crap ton of research on world building, locations, scenarios, technology, space travel. And while this story takes place before the trilogy, it's close enough in time to where the world itself will be the same, right? So the world building that I've done for the trilogy will be the same world that this story takes place in. Number two, I can set the stage. So as I've started writing, I'm realizing the power that I have, right? The power to say things, to drop hints, and to set the stage for what's coming in the larger trilogy in the future. Now, this is a double-edged sword. Obviously, on the one hand, it allows me to explain certain things and develop certain things that will enhance the coming story. But at the same time, it can be dangerous, right? Because you don't want to paint yourself into a corner. You don't want to create some dogmatic piece of world building that you then have to honor in the next story, even after you realize that it was a poor choice. Next, I can explain things in this book that I won't have time to write into the trilogy. In other words, if I don't write this book, I would need to write quite a few flashbacks in the trilogy in order to explain who this character is and where she came from. But with this book in place, I could literally introduce the character in the trilogy and people will bring her entire backstory with them. Obviously, they would have had to read the first book, right? Now, this works not only with the protagonist, but also with other story elements and the world building pieces, right? So there are certain things that I can explain in this book so that I don't have to do it later in the trilogy. For example, I can write an entire scene where my protagonist learns about a major incident related to a deep space mission that failed, right? This accident out in deep space. And I can give pretty solid details in this book about that accident. Then in the trilogy, I can reference that there was a space accident a few years ago, and those who have read the standalone will automatically make that connection. And finally, the standalone will bolster the character in the trilogy. In other words, In the trilogy, I already have multiple protagonists that are trying to do, that I'm trying to do character development with, right? Telling their backstories, helping the reader get to know them and identify with them. So when this character comes along in the second or third book, I would need to do the same thing, right? Spend a lot of time helping the reader to connect with her. But if her story already exists in the standalone, the reader of the trilogy won't need all of that information presented to them. Instead, assuming that they've read this book, obviously, they will be able to pull everything they know about this protagonist into the trilogy immediately when she is introduced. Now, the minute they hear her name, they're going to make that connection, right? They're going to say to themselves, no way, I know this girl. I know where she came from. I know why she does what she do, what she does. She does what she do. It's going to be so crazy to see how she fits into this larger story that I'm now invested in. So as I proceed, I'm sure I'll find many other perks and possibly some pitfalls in writing this prequel. But for now, I think that's a pretty good list of the ways that I'm looking at connecting the two projects. Let's land the plane. So first of all, thanks for jumping on today. I know these are pretty far apart, these episodes, but hopefully if you're keeping up, if you're listening to them, you know, hopefully you'll see the stages that I'm going through, the process that I'm going through, both the good and the bad, trying to figure out, you know, what's the best project to start with, and then what's the best way to engage in that project. So again, I love doing this. It's so much fun. I hope that you guys are enjoying the content as well. I say this every time, I hope that you have your own work in progress, your own big idea, no matter what it is, a painting project, a dance routine, whatever it is, a song, a movie idea, like, you do you. We need more people in this world who are answering the creative call. They're accepting that big idea that they're getting from the universe and they're running with it. So whatever that is for you, I just pray that you are running hard after it and that you're enjoying the process. And I can't wait to see it in the world, right? We're all in this together, friends. Isn't it fun being creative? There is no place I'd rather be. So that's it from here. Like I said, have a great week, everyone. And as always, keep transcending human.